Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
At Dossett, Big Four, and Tupelo, we do things differently. We believe in honest, fair prices and treating our customers like family. Whether you're looking for a new or used GMC or Buick, we've got you covered. Come on down to Dossett Big Four, where you'll get a great deal without the hassle. That's Dossett Big Four in Tupelo.
You can wrap this one, my friend, in maroon and white. 10 seconds, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Bingo!
You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else.
It's Wednesday night, so you know what that means. It's Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian Haydad, Rhino down there in Studio X, making sure everything runs according to our carefully planned out itinerary. We've planned this show right down to the final seconds, more or less. Once again, that scalawag Richard Cross failed to promote this program. The jealous eyes are in full effect in Oxford, Mississippi, I see tonight. Can you believe him? If you want to talk bad about Richard, or good about Richard, depending on your feelings, you can hit us up on the C Spire text line, 601-879-4395. We'll talk some MSU sports tonight. And there is MSU sports tonight. Thankfully, I'd like to give a shout-out to the SEC for not overlapping the game and this program. I appreciate you. Mississippi State tips off an hour and 23 minutes from now against the Florida Gators down there in Gainesville in what is a quad one opportunity. The way the schedule set up for Mississippi State, and nobody could have predicted this prior to the start of the season, but 8 of their first 9 SEC games are quad one opportunities. So that's great from a resume building standpoint if you win some of them. And right now State has only got that one win against the Tennessee Volunteers, which was a great win to have. That's a team that's probably going to be a top, 2-3 seed when we get around to March. But they need to start stacking up some wins. And this stretch that we're in right now for Mississippi State is going to kind of define what this season is. Are they going to be a team that's just comfortably in the NCAA tournament? Or are they going to be a team that stays on the bubble all year long? Tell me their record in the next 4 games, and I'll tell you what I think. Obviously, 4-0 would make it easy. Yeah, no problems there. 3-1, probably the same way. But if they're 2-2 in these next couple of games, I feel like that goes a long, long way for just being safely in the discussion on Selection Sunday, not having to sweat the brackets, not having to worry about being in the play-in game. You're just in if you can get 2 quad one wins in these next 4 games. 1-3, 0-4. Well, 0-4, you might legitimately be looking at not making it. 1-3, you're still in the hunt, but you're going to be playing the bubble game for the whole year. So, and this, I mean, if you ask me what are the best 2 opportunities to win these next 4 games, which are, if you're not aware, at Florida tonight, Saturday, home against Auburn, maybe the hottest team in the SEC right now. They have a tough one tonight with Alabama. At Ole Miss on Tuesday, next Tuesday. It's your in-state rival, that series, anything can happen. And then at Alabama, who you've already lost to this year in Tuscaloosa, next Saturday. If you said, just pick the 2, you think they can get 2 wins, who are they? It's this one and Ole Miss. I think those are State's best 2 opportunities. Even at home, Auburn is a very, very tough team, and I don't think State can win at Tuscaloosa. They couldn't beat them in Starkville. I'm not going to predict them to win in Tuscaloosa. And I don't know necessarily that I would predict State to win any of these games. It just depends on how I feel when we get there. I feel pretty good about their chances tonight down in Gainesville. I feel like Tolu Smith is playing some of his best basketball these past couple of games. I feel like for Mississippi State, Josh Hubbard has had back-to-back bad games, which leads me to believe that he won't do 3 in a row. Maybe that's just a guess on my part. We will see. They do need to get some more out of their guards, though. The state's guards, especially their starting guards, have been kind of no-shows these past few weeks. Deshaun Davis and Shaq Moore. They need to start playing at least the level they were playing at last season, preferably the level they were playing at in the non-conference. Davis, especially, for such a veteran guy to see the way he's fallen off has been kind of disappointing. And Jans addressed that last Saturday after the game and said, you know, basically just said he's in a funk right now, and they've got to find a way to get him out of it, and he's got to help himself in that manner. So, but when you have guys like Josh Hubbard and Trey Fort playing at such a high level, especially Hubbard, Fort's been playing better. I shouldn't say high level, but Fort's been playing much better these past few games, but on both ends of the court. And defense is what was keeping him off the court early in the season. You know, you got some tough decisions to make. You know, you got to put guys out there who can score. You know, you got to score to win. And right now, when you look at State's starting lineup, Davis, Moore, Jeffries, Matthews, Tolu Smith, you've really only got one guy that you trust to put the ball in the basket more often than not, and that's Tolu. And he's not a guy who can create his own shot. So State's not doing him any favors there. Now, I love what Matthews and Jeffries bring, you know, as far as the rest of the game. Defense and rebounding, leadership. Those, they're great, and they're necessary, and they need to be out there on the court. But you can't have four guys who aren't offensive threats around the one guy. So we'll see how that works out for State down in Gainesville tonight. Florida's a team, you know, some of the stuff they like to do, some of the stuff that they are as a team, it works against Mississippi State. They are a really good team on the offensive boards. And State has been giving up way, way too many offensive rebounds these past few games. Their guards are big and physical, sort of like State's are, and so they can match up well. Your best bet, obviously, is going to be with Tolu and trying to get the ball into him, playing that low post game. State has, you know, the past few weeks that their defensive identity has not really been there, and I know they played great defense on Saturday against Vanderbilt, but Vanderbilt is not a very good shooting team. You know, they give up 90 points to Kentucky, 82 to Alabama, 70-plus to Tennessee, even though that was in a victory. You know, State's got to find a way to muddy this game up. Florida's more than happy to go up and down the court and shoot and try to get this game into the mid-70s or higher. State needs to get back to what was working for them a season ago, and that's making the game just as brutal as possible on the defensive end of the court, and then hope that the way you are improved offensively this year with Fort and Hubbard giving you some outside shooting is enough to carry you over. They've kind of lost that identity they had in year one under Chris Jans. They've got to find a way to get that back, you know, starting tonight and in these next four games. 2-2 the next four games, you're fine as far as making the tournament goes. 1-3 or worse, and it's going to be a struggle throughout the year. So they've got to start stacking up wins. Their resume's fine. I mean, they're 40 net right this second. They've got I think they have one quad one win, maybe two. It just depends on what day of the week it is with Washington State. That game has been going up and down for Mississippi State, and currently right now State 1-3 in quad one games. So Washington State, where are they right now? They're 57th in the net. They need to get, the game was played on a neutral site. They need to be 50 or higher. So it just sort of depends on what they do the rest of the year for Mississippi State. And, of course, that Southern game finally dropped into quad four. It had been quad three for a few weeks, but Southern starting to lose some games down there in the SWAC. So, I mean, that was to be expected. That game's going to be an anchor on you all season long. So they just have to work their way around that. And the way to do that is in these quad one opportunities, which even after this next four, you still have a few left sprinkled throughout the season. Texas A&M will end up being one. Georgia has maybe a chance to be one. Not Georgia. That's a home game. I forgot. The second game with Ole Miss, it just depends on what Ole Miss can do between now and then. Ole Miss has got a very interesting game tonight with Arkansas. You know, they got to defend their home court against the Hogs because that is not a good Arkansas team. Arkansas is easily the most disappointing team in the early going here in the SEC. If I had to pick a most surprising team, it would be them, and it would not be. It's not a good surprise for the Hogs. That was a team that I think, you know, had some preseason top 10 recognition, But that's what the SEC has kind of been this year. And Tennessee has been about what everybody thought they would be. Auburn maybe a little bit better than people thought they were going to be. Alabama had some non-conference struggles, but they played really good teams. That's why their net is still top 10. Kentucky, I mean, they lose last night at South Carolina. They get pushed around by the Gamecocks last night. Got beat up, lost by 17 points. That's a very surprising result. But the Gamecocks look like they're going to be in the mix all season long. Obviously, Ole Miss is a lot better than a lot of people thought they were going to be, this me included. They've taken care of their business in the non-conference. They got to start getting some wins in conference play. Like I said, that's a big game for them tonight. SEC basketball this year looks like it's going to be a really good year in the conference. I don't know that there's a truly dominant team top to bottom, a team that's going to go, 16-2 or 15-3, but, somebody's probably going to win the conference at like 14-4. Maybe 15 and maybe 13 and 5. I don't know. But it's good basketball. And State needs to get a win tonight down there in Gainesville. And so it's 7:30 tip-off. So we'll all be watching that one later. Let's go to football when we come back. I want to talk about Mississippi State picking up a commitment for 2025. What about 2024? Let's talk about the shift that's going on with recruiting focus at Mississippi State when we come back. This is Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi.
Back here on Thunder and Lightning, here on Super Talk Mississippi. Hey, if you haven't heard, this is also available in a podcast form. And you can just, subscribe to it and get it whenever you want. If you miss it for some reason, it's right there, 20 minutes later. You got nothing to worry about. Plus, 5 days a week, Thunder and Lightning with me and Robbie Falk. Super Talk, we provide a lot of great podcasts for sports fans here in this state. We have this podcast, the Thunder and Lightning podcast. We have the Rebel Report for the Ole Miss fans. Of course, you can listen to whatever you want. The Eagle Hour. We have from D2 and D3, handling Mississippi College and Belhaven and Millsaps and all that. And, of course, we have the Sports Talk Mississippi podcast. And what do we charge you for all these podcasts? Absolutely nothing. Just listen for free. We're just giving it away. So check them out. Subscribe, rate, review. 5 stars. Say whatever you want in the review, but 5 stars. We appreciate it. Mississippi State football got a little good news this weekend. Didn't they, Rhino?
Creighton, 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 Creighton. Creighton, 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 Creighton.
Mississippi State adds Jeremiah McLeod. What a confusing hometown situation for this kid. He's from Havana, Florida. All right, you got to think, okay, Havana, Florida. Must be near Miami. No, it's near Tallahassee. And then he goes to Gadsden County High School. Oh, must be in Alabama. No, it's in Florida. Kid's got an identity crisis already. No rating from any service. I think that's just... he's just early in the process. Outside of like the elite kids, for the most part, kids haven't been rated yet. But when you look at his offer sheet, you should feel pretty good. He's got a bunch of Power 5 offers: West Virginia, Arkansas, Cincinnati, Georgia Tech, Louisville, Miami, Tennessee. Pretty good offer sheet for this kid. 6'5", a 6'5", 285-pound kid in high school. I mean, Just do the projection thing. He'll be 300 pounds by the time he starts. He plays his first game at Mississippi State. So three commitments now for State in the 25 class. Only one of them are currently in State, and that's the quarterback from Noxubee County, Camario Taylor. And then, of course, linebacker A.J. Rice. And before you even ask, Before you ask, I know somebody's about to hit the text line and ask me this question. Yes, related to Jerry Rice. Yes. He is related to Jerry Rice. Yes. So state, yeah, three commitments right now. Obviously very early in the process. But speaking of the process, that is what Mississippi State, they've made a decision. It seems like a conscientious decision at this point to move forward with the class of 25, and 24 is done for the time being. I know a lot of people, and myself included, were looking at State and what they were doing in the portal, not really bringing in a lot of impact players defensively. You know, if you look at the guys that they brought in, I think they maybe got two potential starters. I think Stone Blanton will definitely be one. Wilkie Dinaud, the defensive lineman from Auburn, has an opportunity to be one. But there's not, you know, for a team that has real issues on the defensive side of the ball, they didn't go out and get a guy that you can just say, for sure, he's starting. That's a big-time player. They didn't get that guy. And I want to stress, and I said this on tomorrow's podcast, and I'll say it again here, I don't think it was lack of effort on the staff. I think it was lack of interest from players. I think, you know, you have a unknown defensive coordinator in Coleman Hutzler. You have a program that, you know, you think next year is, you know, bowl eligibility is a good goal for them. If you're a transfer with 1 year left to play, that's not what you want to get yourself involved in. So I get that. I understand that. I think State did the best they could, but the players just weren't interested. You know, and this is something, a point I've been having to make a lot on the podcast is, just because you have NIL money, it's not like going to the store. You just pick it up off the shelf and put it in your cart. You know, you have the thing has to want to get in your cart in this situation. I think that's the case. I think a lot of players right now, they just don't view Mississippi State as a destination that's going to help them achieve their goals this upcoming season. They need to see from Levy and from Hutzler, more importantly, that's not the case. So State's going to go into, you know, 2024 with who they have, and they've made this, it seems like a conscientious decision to focus recruiting on 2025. The last few weekends, State has had a bunch of big time juniors on campus. Just from here in the state, I mentioned Kamario Taylor was here. Caleb Cunningham, the number one player in the state, one of the top 10, 15 players in the country. Depending on what recruiting service you look at, the five-star receiver out of Choctaw County, he was here a couple weekends ago. Kevin Otis, big four-star defensive lineman out of Hattiesburg, has been here. Tyler Miller, four-star offensive lineman out of Laurel, hoping to, you know, looking like he might follow in the footsteps of Charles Cross and Malik Ellis to Mississippi State. He's been here. State's been pushing the 2025 kids. The one impression that I get from this group, and I know it's early. I know it's super early. I'm not making any bold proclamations here. I'm just telling you that this staff, this group, especially on the offensive side of the ball, has a passion for recruiting that we haven't seen in quite some time at Mississippi State. Does that mean they're going to go pull in a top 10 class? I'm not saying that. But I am saying that this is a staff that understands the importance of recruiting and is willing to get out there and get after it. I thought Moorhead's staff had some guys like that, including the head man. Joe Moorhead was definitely a recruiting head coach. He enjoyed the recruiting process. Leach's staff, not so much. You know, and I think that bears itself out in what this team is going to look like next year, in that they're just missing a lot of guys. You got pointed out today that State has five cornerbacks on scholarship for next year. So if they have two injuries, your two deep is going to have either a walk-on or a wide receiver at the cornerback position. And none of those guys are proven. Not a single one of them. So State, yeah, when we talk about the spring portal window, State's going to have to hope that somebody comes free in that. Maybe somebody from Michigan would be the news of today. But the decision has been made to go to 2025. And again, I'm not predicting anything for Mississippi State. I'm not going to sit here and tell you they're going to have a historic recruiting class or anything more than what you would expect from them. I just am telling you that this staff is not going to be, you know, I hate to say not going to be outworked, because that feels like one of those strength and conditioning coach things. Like, they're working harder than anybody. Everybody's working hard. I know everybody works hard at recruiting, or at least most everybody works hard at recruiting. But I feel like this staff is going to work harder at recruiting than any we've seen in quite some time, from top to bottom. And I think that starts with Levy. I think Lebby is a guy who enjoys the recruiting process, understands what it takes to get top recruits. Has worked at schools like Oklahoma, where recruiting is the lifeblood of the program. It's not a developmental program. But he's also worked in places like Central Florida. And don't get mad, Ole Miss fans, but his first 2 years at Ole Miss was about developing players. The portal wasn't as big a deal back then. He developed Matt Corral. He and Kiffin developed Matt Corral into a star quarterback. He developed a lot of those guys. So he's got both. He's got experience in both ends, getting the high-end talent and then taking those undervalued guys and turning them into stars. That's a good. That's what you need. That's the place where you need to sit as Mississippi State's head coach. You need to be able to fight and try to fight for those highly rated guys, but you also have to know that you got to have an eye for the underrated guy. That's the key to success at Mississippi State. The state's never going to be a team that's consistently top 10, even top 15 in recruiting. You know, if you're a consistent top 20 team at state, I feel like you're doing really well. But at the same time, you can't just sit here and say, well, you know, I know they have the 48th rated class, but they'll coach them all up. You can't be that guy either. Stars absolutely do matter. This is a good year in the state of Mississippi. We're having back-to-back good talent years here in the state. Obviously, this past year, a great number of four-star kids. And next year, it looks like the same. This class of 25 looks like it's going to be the same. And I imagine Ole Miss is going to be highly involved in a lot of these players. I imagine we'll be dealing with out-of-state, LSU, Alabama, so on and so forth. There's going to be a lot of competition in the state for these four-star players. I don't think there's a five-star in the state this year, other than Cunningham. Cunningham's the only one, so we'll see. We'll see where it all takes us as far as the recruiting process goes. But I'm fascinated to watch how this goes. State's got another junior day this weekend. I know of the top prospects. I know a Kalen Deere from, I think he's from Columbia. I don't know that for a fact. You correct me if I'm wrong. One of the top running back in the state this year, though. So really good, really interesting to see how state's attacked recruiting early on in the process by which they do it. We're going to talk a little more football when we come back. I want to talk about Blake Shapen. That was our topic on the Thunder and Lightning podcast yesterday. I want to hit a little bit more on it today, though. So we'll see where it takes us. Back in just a minute. This is Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
On Super Talk Mississippi.
If they call a celebration penalty on this, I'll shoot them.
Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi, Wednesday evening. Always appreciate you guys spending a little time with me on a Wednesday evening. Rhino as well. So on Tuesday's Thunder and Lightning podcast, Robbie Falk and I, we kind of dove into to Blake Shapen and the likely QB1 for Mississippi State and what is a fair expectation for him. And what is, you know, where does he have to be for state to be successful? However you want to gauge success for year one of Jeff Lebby at Mississippi State. I personally am going to gauge that as back in a bowl game. At 6-6 with this schedule, if you told me right now that state's going to win their 4 non-conference and win 2 of the conference games, I don't even care what 2 they are. Don't care. It'd be funny if they were Georgia and Texas, I'll tell you that. But I don't think that's going to happen. But at 6-6, I feel like that year one, that is an acceptable first year. And even at 5-7, I mean, if the team just looks better, I'm willing to go further, deeper than the record there. I want to see more. But for me, it starts with the offense on this team because that's what you hired Jeff Lebby to deliver. You hired him to be an exciting, innovative offensive coach. You see what's going on in college football these days and the days of defense winning championships. I say that just as Michigan wins one. But by and large, what wins in college football today is points. You know, the days of squeezing out a 13-10 win are kind of, they're kind of by the wayside. Now it's about, you know, can you put 35, 38 points on the board? And the good news is for Mississippi State is if they can average 30 points a game, 31 points per game, which is smack in the middle of the SEC, that would have been good, I think, for seventh this year. You're probably a bowl team. You're probably right there, assuming your defense isn't absolutely horrible. You know, and I think about Lebby at his first year at Ole Miss when he was the offensive coordinator. They had the number 14 offense in total offense, and I think they were higher than that in scoring offense. Against an all-SEC schedule, they averaged 41 points per game. Defensively, they were awful. They were the 127th defense, and that's out of 128. So it just goes to show you, if you can score enough points, you win games. So what am I thinking about with Blake Shapen? I think, and this is one of the things I said, I think a lot of State fans early on were a little disappointed that Blake Shapen was the guy. I think when he committed to Mississippi State that there was still a hope that Dylan Gabriel could be at Mississippi State, or a guy like DJ Ungalangalele, I think I said that right, or a guy like Cam Ward or Will Howard, just all the big names were still out there. And Shapen, if you recall, he committed late on a Friday afternoon. I think we were in the last segment of Sports Talk Mississippi, and we had to break that news out there and didn't really have time to digest it and give it to you. But when you look at his stats, he's a career 60-plus percent completion guy. His touchdown interception, I think, is 36-13, so that's really good. He's got some mobility. Doesn't have big rushing numbers, but you can see he can move around in the pocket a little bit. You know, there's some reason for some optimism there. So what do I expect from him in year one? If my baseline expectation for success in year one is to go to a bowl game, what numbers does Blake Shapen have to give Mississippi State to get there? And you look at what Lebby's offenses have done every year he's been a coach, right? You know, Mackenzie Milton, his first year. Now, Mackenzie Milton is kind of a different story. He was already a proven winner and a proven good college quarterback when Lebby took over. But there was no drop-off for him. He threw for, I think, 2,600, 2,700 yards. That's before he got hurt in one of the last games of the season. So he probably could have added another, well, they would have played conference championship game and a bowl game. So probably could have, he probably finishes around 3,300, 3,400 yards. The next year at Central Florida with Dylan Gabriel there, 3,600 yards, 29 touchdowns. Goes to Ole Miss with Corral. Remember, Corral, all we knew about Corral was he had a big arm. Didn't know what kind of quarterback he was going to be. And he was immediately a star in this system for Ole Miss. Threw for well over 3,000 yards both years. Threw for, I think, in his career, if I have the numbers correct, it's 49 touchdowns to 19 interceptions. And I always point this out with Corral. Of that number, 11 interceptions came in two games. He had a 6-pick game against Arkansas, a 5-pick game against LSU, and that was it. The rest of the time, he was really judicious with the ball. And then these last 2 years at Oklahoma, back with the Dylan Gabriel, Gabriel's been putting up huge numbers. Again, you know, plus 3,000 yards. So are we willing to say that in year one, 3,000 yards is kind of the baseline? Again, you know, I don't want it to be misconstrued as bias or blind optimism. These are the numbers that Lebby's system has produced at each stop he's been at when he's been the offensive play caller. So I don't think I'm putting an abnormal amount of pressure on Blake Shapen if he is the starting quarterback for Mississippi State, and I think that he will be. I don't think I'm putting an inordinate amount of pressure on him to say that's the number he needs to hit. He needs to be around 3,000 yards in this season for Mississippi State to be successful. 3,000 yards, and then, you know, interestingly enough, with Mackenzie Milton and with Corral, you had the rushing stats. I'm getting Gabriel's stats up here. I don't know how much he gave those teams in the running game. But Corral, obviously, huge numbers in the running game. And, yeah, and not so much with Gabriel. He did rush for 373 yards this year. Did have 12 rushing touchdowns. So, I mean, Corral had a lot of rushing touchdowns, too. Something about this offense. I guess it's because they spread the field so much that when those things open up, especially down near in the red zone, you get a chance for some quarterback runs. Dart does the same thing now and what Kiffin's running now. So 3,000 yards in year one. I mean, it's kind of, you know, I'm coming out of the air raid where 3,000 yards was just kind of what you expected. Then you had this past year where State was just so bad offensively that 3,000 yards feels like a ton again. But it's, if you're going to be throwing the ball as much as State is in this system, it's really not. It's really not as many yards as you think it is. So that's where I got to be with Chapin. Yeah, he needs to be between 2,800 and 3,200 yards passing. Needs to be around between 24 and 30 touchdowns for State to be what I think they would be successful year one. If he's less than those things, then it means two things. It means they're not successful, and it means for the first time under Levy, that happened. And you have to ask why. You have to, then we're having a whole other discussion. This team this year has to be better offensively. That's the pressure on Jeff Lebby. You were hired because State wants to be better offensively. Defensively is a question mark, and that's tomorrow's Thunder and Lightning podcast. You can hear we talk about the defense and what that might look like year one for Coleman Hutzler and his side of the ball. But if Levy's not good offensively, that's going to be an issue for Mississippi State. They need him to come in from day one and improve this offense and be the kind of offense he's been at the previous stops. All right? You've got some weapons. You need to figure out the running back situation a little bit. I'm not sold on that room completely, but I feel like with Chapin, you've got at least a veteran quarterback. You've upgraded the offensive line through the transfer portal. You added a couple of good receivers through the portal, and you brought back a couple as well. Yeah, and of course, you recruited, you know, 3-4-star kids that you feel like are going to contribute in some way in year one. These are the things that Levy have been given. And if you think, well, you know, he didn't at Ole Miss, blah blah blah, he had this and this. Guys, he didn't have the transfer portal at Ole Miss. He walked in, he had Matt Corral, he had Elijah Moore. Nobody knew Elijah Moore was about to have the most historic season in Ole Miss history as far as a receiver goes. Nobody knew that Matt Corral was going to become the kind of quarterback. They thought he was good. He was talented. He was a 4-star kid out of high school. You knew he had a big arm. He was a good athlete. But nobody saw that. And you got it. Nobody saw Elijah Moore in 8 games catching 86 passes. And I don't know that State has an Elijah Moore talent on their team. But they have somebody who's capable of catching 50, 60 passes this year and getting up close to 1,000 yards. Now, is that Kelly Akari or Kevin Coleman, one of the two transfers coming in? Is it Justin Robinson? Can he finally take the lid off of his talent? Is it a guy like Creed Whittemore who could possibly, you know, do something like that? Or is it, you know, are you going to see a freshman come in like Stonka Burnside and just from day one be a factor for Mississippi State? I don't know the answer to that question. But I do know that State, if they're not better offensively in year one, then what was the point of all this? I don't know. I expect them to be better. I expect them to be better offensively. They averaged 21 points per game last year. You know, in this day and age of college football, how bad that is? Especially when you consider they scored 48 on Southeast Louisiana and 41 on Southern Miss. They had two games where they averaged 40-plus. Means in the other 10, they averaged around 17. That's not getting it done in today's college football. All right, we'll bring it back and wrap things up with you in just a moment. This is Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
Thank you. things up here on a Wednesday night, Thunder and Lightning, live here on Super Talk Mississippi. If you haven't bookmarked the Super Talk website just yet, do it. Supertalk.fm, news, opinion, weather, sports, all of our podcasts, all of our shows, everything you could possibly want right there at one website. Again, it is of no charge to you. And you can check out everything going on in our great state and in our country today at supertalk.fm. Plus, there are, if you go to the our staff, there are great pictures of me and Rhino. We look fantastic. I think so anyway, Rhino. I think you look great.
I might need to update it a little bit.
We both do. We need to take your picture this year immediately after the Palmer Home Radiothon. So when somebody sees you in December, they're like, wait, what?
We could really freak them out if we did the whole like split screen where you put a line down the middle and I have half before and half after.
We're thinking here. I like that. This Friday is our first media availability with Mississippi State baseball. So we'll be talking to Coach Lemonis, Coach Parker, and some of the other Diamond Dogs for the first time leading into the 2024 season, which, of course, starts 22 days from now? 22 days from now. We'll go with that. That sounds right. This sounds right in my head, so we'll just go with that. February 16th is opening day. In Starkville. No time for the first game yet. I'll just go ahead and tell you it's going to be between 2 and 3 o'clock because it's going to be cold. And they're not going to want you to stay out there until 7, 8 o'clock at night, 10 o'clock at night, freezing to death. Very interested to see what Lemonis has to say on Friday. If you listen to Sports Talk earlier today, Kendall Rogers was on with us. His answer about Mississippi State got kind of cut off there. He was going. He was just into it, and he went through the commercial break. But, he had some positive things to say about State. He likes the lineup for the Bulldogs. Obviously, Hines, Jordan, you've got a couple of mashers there, and then you've got some other guys around them, Mershon, Amani Larry, who can be quality hitters. It's all about pitching for State at the end of the day, right? You know, Justin Parker has a huge task in front of him. What we were just talking about with State football and with Lebby, if he can just elevate the offense, the defense doesn't have to be that great. It's kind of the same thing. State, you know, offensively is going to be okay. They've got some guys who can hit the baseball. Last year, they were the worst pitching team in the conference by a large margin. They gave up 7 earned runs per game. 7. And then on top of that, they were maybe the worst fielding team in the conference as well. If those two things are just average this year, average, State will be comfortably into the postseason no matter what. It does bring a question to me, and I don't know the answer to it before if you ask. I don't know the answer to this question, but you know, what is the minimum acceptable standard this year? I think we all know that Chris Lemonis, after back-to-back seasons missing the NCAA tournament, if a third one of those happens, he will no longer be the head coach of Mississippi State. There's no getting around that. I'm not telling Chris Lemonis anything by saying that. He knows it too. So what's the minimum? Is it just making the tournament? Does he need to host? Does he need to be a top 8 seed? I don't know the answer to that question. You know, I tend to think that if he makes the postseason, he would be safe for another year. But at the same time, you know, making the football analogy, if a program was if you had a program in football that consistently, contended, as a consistent top 10 program and won a national title and made it to the college football playoff on a regular basis and then went back-to-back losing seasons. In year 3, coming back from that, would making the Music City Bowl be enough? I don't know the answer. You look at Zach Selman, and I go back to last spring and or last summer, and I thought that he might go ahead and pull the trigger on Chris Lemonis, and he didn't. And I thought, okay, well, maybe he's a cautious guy, and he's not gonna do things that quickly. And then he let Zach Arnett go with a couple games left in the regular season. So I thought, okay, well, this is a guy, when he makes up his mind is made up. So I don't really give Zach Selman credit. He's got me. I don't know. I wouldn't want to play poker with him at this time. So I don't know what the answer is to that question. You know, what does Lemonis have to do? What is the minimum acceptable requirement? But I do know this, if he's not in the NCAA tournament, then when we get to May, you and I get to talk about coaching search. Can this team make it to the tournament? They can. They can. They have the talent to do that. Will they? I mean, you have to tune in to find out, I guess, because I'm right there with you. I don't know the answer. I'd like to say yes, but I can't tell you that with a straight face today. So MSU tips off in about 30 minutes against the Florida Gators. Big game for the Bulldogs. We'll talk about it tomorrow on the Thunder and Lightning podcast and, of course, on Sports Talk Mississippi. For Rhino down in Studio X, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks so much for joining me here on a Wednesday evening here on Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.